The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's kick it.
Let's kick it, Sean. Let's kick it, Sean. Good morning to all of you. It's Dave, it's Jason, it's Chris. Same old crew, different week. Week two of the offseason. I'm just going to count it up all summer.
I'm freaking jacked.
So jacked, bro. So jacked. Nice weekend. Nice weather, for the most part.
Yeah.
A little rain Friday.
That's right.
You know they say April flowers bring May showers or something like that, right?
It's exactly what they say.
Exactly what they say.
Who's they?
They.
Oh, those people?
Those people. Yes, you know. You know. So we should have like a lot of May flowers.
Bad for allergies.
Also, and it's funny to me that people, like, get nervous when you say this, but, like, pretty much the drought's over. It's been over for a while. That's kind of nice. But then it's, like, it's the funniest form of superstition because for some reason people are like, don't say that. You'll jinx it. It's like, well, what did I plan the weather?
Yeah. At what point do we not need
more That's rain? The jinx you don't believe in.
That's the, yeah. That's, yes. That's the one. Although, have you noticed that's, like, the new one is the new cloud seeding. Is now entered the chat as far as like, hey, it's an op. It's because the whole Dubai stuff. I don't know if you read about that.
Oh yeah,
like all the floods there. But they actually like cloud seeding is a real thing. Where like they'll, you know, make it rain. Sort of. I don't know how we haven't figured it out by now. Like legitimately, just make it public completely. Like why can't we just like completely control the weather? Like. You know, maybe you can't make it 100 degrees in Iceland. But, you know, just let everybody know. Like,
yeah, we're doing a good enough job making that happen.
I think so. I because there's nobody I would rather have control of the weather than governments. That would be awesome. And then would it change, like, this election we have coming up? Would it be
I'm running on the warm campaign.
Right,
or the,
right.
Yeah, cool campaign.
I was going to vote for Biden, but too much rain in June. Oh, yeah, well, Trump wants it to be 98 degrees in July. What? I don't know. Like, who? More rain. You know? I feel like when you eventually weather will be politicized. But, you know, what isn't politicized is I just set the chat up for, like, I haven't even opened it yet. Chat's going to be a mess. But I expect that on a Monday. How was your weekend?
It was good. How about you?
It was good. What happened that was interesting? Anything happened that was interesting? What? I mean, you know, I know what you're talking about, but
I don't even want to know what your mentions look like.
You should look at them. No,
I don't want to.
You should.
I don't want to. You can't make me.
on Saturday morning, I simply tweeted, this was at 9:30 in the morning. I said, time to go to work.
Saturday?
Yeah, it could be anything, though. Maybe I had some work to do on the show. Maybe I had some other stuff. Maybe I had to wash the car. Maybe I had to mow the lawn. Maybe I had to clean the kitchen. It doesn't matter. And let's see. 76 replies later. Wasn't pretty. If you're wondering, and you're probably not, why? It's because, although mathematically not a fact yet.
They win by 15.
Yes, they have to win by 15. We're talking about Huddersfield Town. They were all but officially relegated on Saturday. If you don't understand what relegation means, again, imagine if the A's got sent down to AAA last year, if the Kings in the worst years of their existence got sent down to the G League, and then the only way to get back to the NBA was you had to finish, depending on the league, top two or top three to get promoted back up to where you already were. And then on top of that, a lot of the players have opt-outs in their contracts. If you go down a league, they don't want to play, so they're gone. Managers could be gone. Who knows? It's just, it is something we don't have over here. I used to really root for it to exist over here just because I think it's amazing. Like, what a way to prevent tanking. What an amazing penalty. And also what an amazing thing for, like, any old person to start a club and eventually, like, get, you know, like you're seeing it with Wrexham right now, who will be in the same league as we are next year. You know, they've just moved their way on up. But when it's your first full year of owning a club, new ownership, and you get relegated, like, look, I know a lot of the people over there actually, weirdly enough, listen here, so I don't want to for reals get too into it, because, yeah. But, yeah, that was tough. That was rough. It still is rough. It's not great. So
you're not a proponent for it over here anymore?
No, like, I still am, but, like, going through it.
You like the concept.
I do. I don't like it when it happens to the team I love, but the concept is great, man. Like, oof, you don't do it, you go down, and, you know, and I mean, there's, I've been listening and learning a lot, too. There are some people that, not that you want relegation, but they go, hey, look, there's a like, the whole thing with this club being relegated didn't start this year. Like, this, there's been issues at this club for a long time. They've been fighting relegation on and off for a long time. But the ones that, again, don't like it, but they go, you know, it is a chance to reset. Like, you get the bad blood out of there. You get rid of, you know, the manager came out over the weekend and was like, yeah, some of the players left early. Like, they're just not into it. And, yeah, like, they don't screw around over there, man. They are, like, they'll say the thing. Like, imagine, like, imagine Mike Brown being like, yeah, a bunch of players left early, you know, at the end of the game. And I'll tell you one thing they do over there that's really important that actually I wish we did here. I don't understand. There is no real good excuse. There's no good excuse to not do this over here in every sport. But let's just talk about the NBA, for example. At the end of the game, when you're blowing the other team out, whatever. Like, De'Aaron Fox gets subbed out, you know, with 2 minutes left. Over there, when you get subbed out or at the end of matches, if you're at home, they'll clap off the fans. Like, hey, thanks for coming out, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. If they're on the road, the fans, you know, the road fans are all in a certain section of the stadium. They'll walk over there, win or lose. And they'll clap for them, show their appreciation for how great they've been. Like, Domas Sabonis is the type of guy, I think, that 100%, if it was a thing over here, when he gets subbed out at the end of a game, is going to, you know, you just kind of clap a couple times and say, hey, thanks for supporting us tonight. This is awesome. We really appreciate you.
Right.
I don't know why they don't. I mean, I know it's just not, it's a cultural thing. But that seems like something that I feel like, why not do that over here?
Yeah.
It's a small, and I feel like if somebody in the NBA, like, started it, I think a lot of other people would follow. It's just somebody's got to do it. It's just probably not cool. Just,
yeah, but do they have a beam?
Over there?
Yeah. No.
No, they do not currently have one at all. Nope. I mean, come on. Why would they do that? That's over there. Wouldn't work over there to have a beam that lit up after wins. Who would think of that?
Of course, says no.
You'd have to call the Kings and talk to their lawyers, make sure that you weren't violating anything, and come up with a different phrase. You have to get a beam that was the color of the, you know, team, for example, 100,000 watts. Yeah, no, dude, no. Nope. Nor would there be one next year. Of course not. That would be weird. I don't know how that would. Although, again, it doesn't matter what it is. Also, they're not huge on introduce. Like, we have fan appreciation. I mentioned this. We have fan appreciation day Friday or Saturday, which is great. It was planned before the year started. And, of course, fan appreciation day lands on relegation day. So that went over amazingly. You know, there's 15 prizes, everything from like a PlayStation to a TV to a trip out here to, you know, good prizes. And then we also introduced Thunder Sticks. I think I mentioned this last week, or as we call them, or they call them Bam Bam Sticks, because I don't know, reasons. Yeah, that, and so now the first and only time they've ever seen Thundersticks is on relegation day, which is like an anniversary day they remember forever. Mm,
gross.
And, you know, it's like with Chris, and I'm not – this isn't me insulting Chris because I didn't choose this, and he – it'll make sense when I finish what I say. Like, one thing Chris doesn't – the great part about him being a fan – of his team is like, this is stuff he does not have to worry about. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to have his picadillos, like, oh, we lost the FA Cup. Oh, we got bounced out. Oh, we didn't win the league. You know, there's disappointments, especially when there's expectations. Relegation is just not something a Manchester City fan is really going to have to worry about anytime soon, if ever, ever. Like, and I will say this, you know, everyone's goal is to get to the Premier League. And I know there's, this isn't so much about soccer, because I know we're talking to a lot of people that are like, soccer. But I will say, now again, having been around it and having rooted for Manchester United growing up, because you had to choose one of like four teams.
Right.
But like, it is kind of a crappy setup. And when you really think about it, it is kind of lame. Like, the same teams win it every year. And odds are if you get promoted, you're getting relegated the next year. Not always. And you have a Leicester City every once in a while, but Leicester City is already – they won it, what, within the last 8 years, Chris?
2016.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, 8 years. They already got relegated. Like, they're going to be back up in the Premier League next year, but they already got relegated. They're in the champ in the second tier. But if you are not Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool – you're not winning the Premier League.
How many get relegated a year?
Three.
And three get promoted.
And yeah, but like what's great, and I think it's different in different leagues, I think. But for example, for the second tier league, the one we're in, the championship, the top two get automatically promoted, which is Leicester City, and then almost certainly Ipswich will be the top two. Then you have like Leeds and three other clubs that are 3, 4, 5, 6. They play playoffs. You know, so it'll be, 3-6 versus 4-5, winner-winner, and then the winner of that little mini tournament at the end of the year. So there's no playoffs per se, but there are. There's like a tiny playoff to see who the third team to go up, and that's fun because you get some postseason.
Oh, those games are insane.
They are ridiculous. They're insane because it means so much. Like, when you think about the not to get too deep into the weeds here, but going from the champion, when you consider a lot of these clubs are worth in the tens of millions of dollars, you know, some of them mid to low tens of millions, you go up to the Premier League, it's $250 million.
Is there any difference for being the first team in or the third team?
No, not really. No.
No.
You get, I think you get a trophy for winning, you know, the championship, but no, it's about promotion. It's about an influx of $250 million and parachute payments and TV,
but there's
revenue.
No like 4 year promotion. It's a year.
It's 1 year
unless you keep winning.
I believe if the everything shakes out the way it is, I'm pretty sure the three teams that were promoted last year are all going to be relegated back down next year. It's not easy to. You get up there and you're starting behind the eight ball. I mean, you got some of the best players in the world, and you're signing from the scrap heap in a lot of cases. And it's very difficult to stay up. So for every Man City, there's, 700 Huddersfield Towns or Coventry Cities or, Chef Wednesdays or whatever. Anyways, so there you go. There's your update, everybody. And there you go. We got a lot to get to today. Speaking of getting relegated, the Suns have been relegated to Cancun. Hey. Mm-hmm. Suns in four.
They were right.
Still kind of true. Yeah. We'll talk about that. Also, the draft is over. The draft is over. Who was that? Survivor? The search is over. You were with me.
I think so.
I think it is Survivor. Yeah. That's a good song.
Yeah.
It's a fine monster ballad. We'll get to all that. Matt Barrows. They called him Wheel in high school. He's going to join us at 8. Nice to visit with him. And he will talk to us about the Niners' end of the draft. And so much more. Hey, guys, it's a Monday. We got a whole weekend worth of content for you. Sit back, relax. Enjoy on YouTube. Just go to Sactown Sports. Enjoy on the radio and call us 1-800-920-1140. You can text us at 916-339-1140. We're right back with Leading Off next.
Let's do it.
Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
The Timberwolves complete the sweep. They win a playoff series for the first time in 20 years. Minnesota on to the second round.
Totally agree, Jason, with that last part.
Yes.
The Suns. That was them getting swept. Mm. Also could have been the little spray gun.
Yeah, that's true.
But I made that. That was my own sound effect. Yeah, they have been swept, Jason. The Suns gone. The Timberwolves. You know, I thought like when you were a young team and all that, like you were supposed to have to figure it out versus like the veterans who, once you get to the playoffs, it's a whole different game, and that's where experience comes in. You have a guy in Kevin Durant who's won world championships. Yeah. You have a guy in Kevin and Devin Booker.
Would you call the Timberwolves a young team, though?
I would call them.
They're sprinkling. I would, some young, some old, right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, Conley is. That's to me when they got the grown up in the room is when they changed.
I would call them an inexperienced playoff team.
Okay, that's
for the
fair.
Most part. And I think young in that way. More young, maybe.
They're not like
word.
OKC to me.
No.
But Gobert's been around the block. Certainly Conley forever.
Sure. Yeah, Conley.
And now like, Towns is not a young player anymore. I mean, he's not old.
Right. But he's got, Edwards what, is. 7 years, I think? Yeah. 7 years in the league? And then Anthony Edwards is just the...
Look out. Look out for him.
And they did it. They did it the right way. Look, you and I had a lot of questions. A lot of people had a lot of questions when they made it. Yeah, you did. You certainly did. A lot of people did. You by far weren't the only one wondering, hey, is this whole Twin Towers thing going to work? But really just the emergence of Anthony Edwards makes it look really good, too. They put some pieces around him. Naz Reid, I know he's kind of a swear word right now, but look, that's a great piece to put around Edwards, Towns, and Gobert. As you said, Conley is the adult in the room. You know, you watched the game last night, and he's in there kind of coaching. Oh, God, speaking of, scary, scary moment with Chris Finch. And it was weird because as they showed him in if you didn't know, Mike Conley kind of barreled, total accident, obviously, it's his player, barreled into Chris Finch on the sideline. Finch went down. He's, I think, 54 years old. You know, not an old man, but certainly not 24. And it was weird because they showed the slow-mo of him going down, and the look on his face was like annoyance. It's like, I'm falling.
Yeah.
I got to get up. And then next thing you know, I honestly thought he was going to pop right up.
Right.
Next thing you know, they're circling him.
Right, like protecting and what you could see him. Like, wait, what happened?
As soon as they started circling him, it almost always means one of two things. Number one, and you always hope this isn't the case, there is a real medical emergency going on right now, and they don't want anybody to see. I mean, a real life or death a medical emergency going on. That's number one. Or number two, the person is in so much pain. They're screaming out. They're yelling. They're writhing.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to be seen either.
The legs pointing the wrong direction. You're like, don't let anybody see that.
Correct. A very visible. So at one point you saw a couple of the trainers making a fist, almost like if you were at a protest, like that kind of fist, but it wasn't that kind of fist. It was I imagine it was the code for, you know, we may need a stretcher it was some sort of medical signal over to the sidelines. And then you're sitting there watching going, oh my God, like I'm sitting there, honest to God, I'm thinking, that didn't look terrible. Is he having a heart attack or something? What is going on? I started to get really scared for him. And then you saw him get up. Turns out he has a ruptured patella tendon. Hey, and I'll tell you, as somebody who has ruptured a patella tendon before, generally it will come with a dislocated kneecap. Mm-hmm. And I completely get why they were circling him. If he had, you know, I was in seventh grade, he's a grown man, but...
Yeah.
It's the worst pain I've ever experienced. It is by far the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. I felt so much more terrible for him because I could empathize, and he's gonna have an off season to recover.
And then the poor guy had to like walk through like a tiny space between
God,
the bench and around
right?
the bench and then through this. I'm like, let's get the stretcher. Like, it's okay.
He didn't. I guarantee
he
you.
He probably didn't want it.
Didn't want it. He probably wanted to stay out there.
Yeah.
But you know,
let's remove some chairs.
Geez,
let's get some sort of pathway.
For real, man. Like they made him walk to freaking, Glendale. but anyways, Who knows? At the beginning of the year, if you'd asked Chris Finch, would you trade a ruptured patella for a top three seed and sweep in the Suns, he probably would have taken it. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. You know, obviously, everyone's different. I didn't have to have surgery for mine. Who knows if he will, but they did put me in a cast that immobilized it for a few months. So I bring that up only because if they do the same thing for him, either way, I would expect to see him on the sidelines. He just may be leaning on crutches, mm-hmm. you know, for the rest of the. But if they put him in a cast, I walked out of the doctor's office, which I was like, wait, you want me to walk? What? It was like the day after. They had to drain the knee because it will swell up quite a bit. And then they put you in a cast, and it is a walking cast, depending on mm-hmm. what happens. So hopefully he's fine. Scary moment, though. But if it's going to be scary, have it be that kind of – like sure. That's not a heart or anything like that. That's not a stroke. That's not – it's a sucky injury, but it ain't what it yeah. could have been. So thoughts with him, and congratulations to the Wolves.
That's right. First team to move on to round two.
We will talk much more about them today. Also, we're going to have a lot of conversations about the Suns. And by the way, in both the Wolves case and the Suns case, there are clear conversations that tie directly to the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. And we will make those conversations happen. Number two.
Cut number two.
With the 251st pick in the NFL in the 2024 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Tatum Bethune. Linebacker, Florida State.
Okay.
Florida State.
First off, right on. Secondly, I don't know who is reading that, if that's an NFL person or if it's one of those like they bring up like, hey.
It's some kid.
Okay. I'm not laughing at the kid's delivery in the sense that I'm making fun of him. I'm laughing at the kid's delivery because it was the perfect delivery for the 251st yes. pick of the draft, and the perfect reaction from the crowd. You hear like one person in the background, woo! Like, woo! They're just
ready. Was that the Knicks fans that was at the Kings game?
They're ready to go home.
With the 251st pick in the NFL, in the 2024 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Tatum Bethune, linebacker, Florida State.
One person.
With the two.
Way in the background.
It was Mrs. Bethune.
Yeah.
Now, just to be clear with the kid, I'm sure it turns out, the kid's probably nervous as hell. Good for the kid. But, hey, kid, don't worry about it. I'd have read it the same exactly.
Yes.
We will go over their draft a little bit later.
Going over all the picks.
We are. And, hey, let's say we grade them all.
Yes.
This guy's going to be great. That one's going to be terrible. There were some questions.
There were some terrible picks.
Horrible picks. What is John Lynch thinking?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's my draft analysis. We'll find out next year.
You mean you can't tell me today with conviction what an offensive guard from Wisconsin's going to do?
I can't believe they reached for the guy that they reached for in the second round. Mel Kiper had him graded as a fourth or fifth rounder.
Then you don't take a three technique D lineman in the with the eighth pick.
What are you doing? I mean, there's obvious ones like drafting Michael Penix Jr. when you just signed a quarterback in Kirk Cousins, but maybe they're doing their thing. I feel really bad for Raider fan. Like I know they're gonna hate that I say this, but I see like some guy like posted their offense or projected offenses like beat that, and I'm looking and I'm like, they're not a great. I just feel terrible because you go through this every year where you go to the season, you're like, AP's coming back now. He finished pretty well with this. You know, we still got Tay Adams. And, it's like, bro, you're either going with Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. Josh Jacobs is gone. You weren't a good team to begin with. Like, they're right now, like, 7-9, 6-10. And until that kind of sinks in, even in the NFL where anything can happen.
Right.
But then you look at the Raiders, you're like, that can't happen. But it is what it is, man. That's what the offseason's for, is people get excited. Number three, please.
Cut number three.
One run game here in the ninth. This count coming to Kyle McCann. McCann in the air. Launch towards right field. It's going back. And Kyle McCann, see you later. Take the lead with one swing. Kyle McCann with the second homer of the year. And you will hear the boos here at Camden Yards.
Slowly hit. Ball game. Well, it wasn't easy. Nice win. Giants go 6-4 on the homestand.
Hey. 6-4 on the homestand.
Woo-hoo!
A split with the Yanks, took 2-3 from Baltimore. We'll get into that safer out at 6:43. But, Jason, over the weekend, baseball happened. And I got to tell you, big effect on what's going on this season. Things have changed.
You better start supporting your soon-to-be, maybe northern-ish, our area, without a first name, A's.
You said it, brother.
Sell.
There was we'll have that in there as well. There was a pretty decent contingent of protesters out.
Did they sell?
They did. You know what? Weirdly enough, I think they did. How about that? Mm. Breaking news.
It worked.
That's going to happen a lot, and it's going to happen a lot more next year. Not as much as people think, but it will happen. I really hope that this doesn't turn into like. I feel like eventually Sacramento fans are going to get tired of it, and then next thing you know, it's going to be Oakland versus Sacramento. And I hope that doesn't happen. Of all the things going on right now, it's not Sacramento or Oakland fans' faults.
Right.
But if any town can understand what it's like to protest for a team, it would be our town.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we'll take a break. When we come back, let's get a playoff update. Joel Embiid makes more people angry. Doc Rivers probably got bailed out. And the Lakers, don't do the autopsy on them just yet. We'll come back with the NBA playoffs now.
I can see forever. The century's over.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sacktown Sports.
Will we fall apart? At times it's so confusing. The questions of the heart.
This is a great little, I would say forgotten, but probably not talked about enough little... I don't know if you call it a monster ballad. It's not like a rocker. This is one of those good, like, 80s, like, Peter Cetera, you know, Peter Cetera.
Maybe some...
Your Peter Ceteras.
Yeah. Do you think his original name was Peter Cetera and he changed it, like, et cetera? Because it spelled the same. I always wondered that, if he changed it.
Point. I don't know.
It came up as Peter Cetera, and some manager's like, ah, see, it's not going to work now. You got to be different.
Yeah, be different like me, the manager,
see? Yeah, everyone's going to say your middle name's Et. That's a really good, yeah. And that, because it's got a little, like, the bridge in there, actually. And then turn back. No.
Yeah.
Did I nail it?
You did.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. MC's talking about Boy George. I'm trying to think of Boy George. But those are more like, I don't know. I feel like there's a difference between the Boy George ballad and Survivor ballad.
Yeah.
The Survivor ballad is like,
what was the Boy George ballad?
Well, they had Karma Chameleon, but didn't Boy George have a ballad? Also, why wasn't Boy George? Oh, because he was English. Wait. Should Boy George have been in We Are the World? No, right?
Wasn't he?
No, Boy George.
He was. Wasn't there like an English one before?
Yeah,
We Are
there
the
was.
World?
Do they know it's Christmas?
I think he was part Live of that Aid. One.
Yeah. The
say Rite Aid, Live Aid.
that famous charity song by the group Rite Aid.
Yeah. Only to be outdone by Walgreens.
Which one's is it? Which one is it? I think Rite Aid's the one that has the thrifty ice cream, right?
Yes.
Are there any Rite Aids left anymore?
Yeah. There's one. There's one near where I live. As a matter of fact, we will occasionally get the double chocolate malted crunch ice cream. Yeah, maybe there isn't a ballad by Boy George. I mean, I think the Crying Game, that was a kind of a ballad, but anyways. Not like these other classic right. ones. It's not like When the Children Cry by White Lion.
No.
Obviously.
Right. A lot of children crying in Phoenix. How am I supposed to segue?
You did.
I'm not wrong. I'm sure there were some little kid Suns fans.
Yeah. Had high hopes. Championship or bust? Well, they bust. You busted.
You busted. Yeah, dude. And we're going to talk about this at 7. And we're going to talk about this at 7:13, so it'll be repetitive. I don't want to get it out of the way and use all our material from later, but the Suns are in trouble. By the way, Frank Vogel's like almost certainly going to get fired after 1 year because it was his fault.
Yeah. Wait, I thought it was Monty Williams' fault.
No, it was.
But now it's Frank Vogel's fault. Got it.
And coming up at 7 o'clock, and we've alluded to this before, but this is as just about as predictable as anything. In fact, here's an idea for people. You know, Sam's not coming on this week. He is. Maybe I'll bring this up to him. He never takes my story ideas. But this is somebody should do this one. I would love to see over the last, let's say, 25 years, I would love to see the record of a team in the first 3 years and then the following 3 years, maybe first five and five and second five of new ownership in sports.
Mm.
It is so almost, and by the way, this is one of the better stories because the Suns made the playoffs. But you almost always see it where a new owner comes in and just completely craps the bed. And in the Suns' case, man, they're in trouble.
Yeah, they really need to get a championship here in this really small window that's getting tinier now because they are compromised for the future.
They are, and it's kind of tough when you say they need a championship where it's like they literally, not a lie, the Kings won more postseason games than the Suns this year.
I guess, yeah.
They did.
Counting the play-in, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously. You know.
It is postseason.
Yeah. That's why I said postseason. I didn't say playoffs. I said postseason. And everyone's mad and upset. Here's Devin Booker saying a couple of things.
You know, I don't want to have an X and O conversation with you right now, but, you know, defensive rebounding, offensive rebounding, you know, the most extra possessions you can get, spacing on the floor, you know, you name it. Free throw box out. You know, I think the teams that get the most possessions and extra possessions, and I'm thinking back to the finals year, that's what Milwaukee did to us too. You know, they miss a shot and, you know, crash four or five people and, you know, turn it into, you know, a war in the paint. So, you know, there's a lot of details to the game that go into it. But I've always been saying it all year, communication trumps all. So, and we weren't good with that this year.
He went on to say, I have to do better. KD's got to do better. Coach has to do better. Bradley Beal has to do better. It's just a rough situation. And honestly, I don't think Bradley Beal has any value. I honestly don't. I was thinking about this a lot last night. I don't think he has any value. Like, literally.
Really?
I don't think he has any value. I don't think. Wow. Now, could be wrong. What I mean by that is certainly not that Bradley Beal is not a good player. Mm-hmm. He's a very good player.
Sure.
I mean, they're contract locked. He's still owed, I want to say, is it $200 million? I know he's got a player opt, but it's like he makes more than Fox or Sabonis, I can tell you that much. And that's what I mean by any value he would have had, I think, comes in the you know, from his talent, obviously.
Right.
But I don't think the talent and age overcome the contract. So when I say no value, I mean if they were to trade him, they would get players back. But I think I'm not Phoenix. My guess is if somebody approached them and said, we will trade you whoever we deem we want to trade you in exchange for Bradley Beal. We will give you the players that fit, no matter who they are, as long as it got them off the hook for that money. I think the Suns would take the deal.
Yeah.
I don't think they're looking for – they're not going to get talent on talent for Bradley Beal if they tried to move him.
Bradley Beal next season is making $50.2 million. Season after, $53.7 million. And the season after that, he has a $57.1 million player option.
I mean, the trade piece, and I don't think they want to do this, would be Booker.
100%. It would 100% be Devin Booker, who is, as has been celebrated, the only remaining piece from that finals team just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I still remember them going, what was it, 7-0 in the bubble, I think?
Yeah, that's right.
And
8-0. 8-0,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then was it the following year they were in the finals, I think?
Like, yeah, they've got so many what-ifs. Like, hey, trade for a 3-and-D guy. Oh, like Bridges that you had? What if they still had Paul and Ayton? Would they be better off?
I would take a team. Beal. I would take a team of Paul, Ayton, Booker, and Bridges over what they have right now. And I would say Durant has some value.
Yeah.
I would say that. I would say he has more value than Bradley Beal, but not as much as Booker. And by the way, it's almost like when we do the postmortem on the Lakers here, probably tomorrow. The problem is that, you know, Beal definitely had injury issues, but you're not getting more of a year out of Kevin Durant.
Right.
You got everything you could hope for out of Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Same thing with Booker. They had, and even yesterday, Jason, you look at their performance.
Yeah, those two guys were great.
They were wonderful.
Yeah.
They were okay. They, you can't point to that. It's just what we've kind of talked about before. They just don't have any sort of depth or cohesion. The Suns and the Timberwolves both played the same amount of players. They played 8. They both have the same exact rotation numerically. But the difference is the Timberwolves are coming off the bench with Kyle Anderson, Naz Reid, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who are playing 17, 20, and 31 minutes respectively. The Suns are coming with Josh Okogie, Nasir Little, and Aaron Gordon, which is fine on the surface. Gordon gave him 39. But you're getting 14 minutes and 7 minutes out of Okogie and Little, and they all combined for 10 points.
Right.
You're relying way too much. 49 and 33, Jason. 49 points for Booker. 33 for Kevin Durant. Both efficient, both good. Booker 20 of 21 from the line. But here's the problem. 9 from Beal. 9 from Nurkic. 6 from Royce O'Neal. You got a combined 24 points out of your other three starters. As a matter of fact, let me do the math here, 28, 34. I mean, not only did Booker and Durant outscore the rest of the team significantly, but they had almost exactly, two guys had almost exactly half the points.
Yeah, you never know how things will go when someone's put on another team, but I know there were a lot of people upset that the Kings didn't get Royce O'Neal and that he, how could you let him go to Phoenix?
Well, there it is.
He did.
By the way, my math is off in this aspect. I said almost half the points. I'm sorry. They had 82 of the Suns' 116 points.
Yeah, way more than half.
Yeah, that's interesting. We'll take a break. When we come back, safe or out, the A's split with the Yanks. There was a little protest up here. And finally, it looks like baseball is listening to people for a change, or at least their players. We'll talk about that. We'll get to more playoffs a little bit later next on Sacktown.
Safe or out? It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings.
It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Shout out, real quick, to loyal listener Michael.
Yeah, big time.
Who is driving through LA, hopefully hands on 10 and 2.
Gross.
Yes, LA is gross. And was listening to this.
It's almost like when we do the postmortem on the Lakers here, probably tomorrow. The problem is that, you know, Beal definitely.
Sounds like us.
It is.
Yeah, he panned the camera to show the sights and sounds of LA.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the question he asked, which is, did we like upgrade our antenna or something? I'll tell you this much. I don't understand anything about how antennas work. I don't. But I know this. Is there something where, like, because I've driven to LA before, and I feel like right when I get there, I can still hear 1140 sometimes, and then it, like, goes away. So, like, is there, like, some sort of sticky signal thing that sticks to your antenna and then goes away as you are gone further? Because that's happened to me before where I could get us down there years and years ago.
Okay.
Strangely enough, Dave, you're 100% correct. That's exactly how
sticky
it works.
Sticky stuff that, yeah, it's like the sticky signal. It sticks to your antenna and then it just kind of wears it, like the wind blows it off. Yeah, that makes total sense. Safer out. Question one, please.
The A's split with the Yankees and took 2 of 3 from Baltimore. Safer out. This will be their best road trip of the season.
I mean, based on where you still think they're going to be, I'd say safe. I hope not. I hope it's out. We're still, you know, incredibly early into the season, but you're going to be hard pressed to to – now, they did get swept by Cleveland. But you're going to be hard-pressed to do better. You just went to Yankee Stadium and split with them and then took 2 of 3. You just basically went 4-3 on the road against arguably the two best teams, two of the three best teams in baseball. That's a pretty impressive little stint for the A's, gotta admit.
Their schedule's been really tough. They've had all these good teams that they've played, and they've done pretty well against it. I saw a thing over the weekend, I think, where they, I don't know how many wins they have now, 12 maybe, but they had their 11th win last year, like late May.
Yeah.
So they're way ahead of last year's pace. And the longer you do that, the more you start to believe that you've got something. So their division isn't that great, but, you know, good for them to do what they're doing. It's surprised a lot of people, and they haven't really gotten into the division games.
12-17, Jason, are the Oakland A's. Currently, they are in third. Just three and a half out from the first-place Seattle Mariners.
But more people thought they'd be. What's the White Sox record?
The White Sox are 6-22.
Yeah, like that.
The Marlins are 6-23, and the Rockies are 7-21. Not even close to last place.
Right.
That's right. Those Rockin' A's. Number two, please.
Over the weekend, A's fans took to the Rivercats game to protest the move next year. Safer out. Sacramento fans will need to get used to this.
That's a bit safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to get used to it. Look, you're housing a relocating team next season and for the seasons after that. And I can't speak to how year two or year three will be, but look, this is a very organized, well put together group of fans. And it kind of doubles up in the sense that next year, you know, is there going to be part of it that they secretly just kind of still want to see their A's but don't want to say they're putting money in John Fisher's pocket? So, hey, they're going to do, I think, what A's fans in Sacramento did going to the Coliseum for so many years. They're going to come up here, and it's kind of a – you can kind of cleanse your ethical palate, if you will, by coming up here to protest. And, oh, by the way, there's our A's. I think that's a good way to – I'm not saying that's why they're doing it. I'm saying maybe subconsciously it's a left-brain hip check.
But yeah.
Is what it is.
Well, the why is what? To get attention. It did.
Yes.
And that did get attention. Now, what does it do? I mean, the cell group has been out there. They shouldn't lose. Like, if that's still what they believe, you got to stay with it. You can't, you know, say like, well, nobody heard it. No, people heard you.
They heard you.
It's been heard. It's been mentioned. It's been talked about.
Got on the news.
Yeah. So that group needs to keep doing that for sure. And the question is, Sacramento fans should get? Yeah, they should get used to it.
Very much
so.
It's
going to keep happening.
It's going to keep happening. Yeah. And that's just, them's the breaks, guys.
Yep.
Number three, please.
Looks like baseball will finally address and fix the jersey situation. Safer out. Baseball jerseys rank third behind NFL and NBA jerseys.
I think they do. I would say safe. I don't mind a good baseball jersey. I just find that maybe it's just me personally. Like, you can, I think football is the best of the three. All right, hockey's fantastic. No lie there. Hockey sweater.
I mean, I think soccer is.
Do you really, though? Mm-hmm. I don't.
Because they're always changing.
That's part of the problem. It's a money suck.
Well, and all jerseys they are changing all the time.
I just don't like, they're you know, they're fine. But, you know, basketball jerseys are great if you're wearing a shirt underneath
them. I was going to say, basketball jerseys just in general, I think, are the worst for the common people.
Yes.
If I could put it in a broad sense.
Yes. Yes. I
go outside, nerd. Get out. Go.
But I baseball, it's just because they're like the button-up thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you wear it unbuttoned with a shirt underneath? Do you button it up? You know, they're kind of that weird material.
You unbutton it all and no shirt underneath.
That's usually how I go. Well,
a person that's dressed like that is looking for problems.
That is 100. You see somebody roll. Odds are if you see somebody rolling up without a shirt underneath their baseball jersey and an unbuttoned, or you see somebody in a basketball jersey with no shirt under that, generally they're going to be double-fisting beers. Not always. Generally, they're going to be double-fisting beers. And then football fans, you just can't ever tell. Hockey fan, they're just always like, hey, let's go.
Hockey fight.
Hockey fight everywhere. And then you got to pull the jersey over their heads. You know, it's a whole thing. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the sad story of the Phoenix Suns, including what Kevin Durant.
So sad.
You saw Anthony Edwards just talking all kinds of garbage during the series. And Kevin Durant was asked about Anthony Edwards. We have that clip. In the end, the young Wolves, I should say, They just had too much for the Suns. We'll talk about that. That young, youthful energy that, are you going to get that from the Suns at that age? I don't know. Maybe if they switch to all electric, which is something we're trying to get them to do with my good friends at American Energy Heating and Air. Good morning, everybody. Carmichael Dave here. Let's talk about my friends at American Energy Heating and Air. Let's talk about $9,000. $9,000 in rebates that they're going to help you get just simply by switching to an all-electric system. Why do you want to deal with all those stupid go up and down, up and down, up and down PG&E and SMUD bills? Why? Why? Don't do it. Don't do that to yourself. We're offering you a way out. And with summertime coming up, right around the corner, we're going to have high 70s, low 80s this week. Well, pretty soon it's going to be high 90s, low 100s. Don't wait till then when everything's packed. Switch to electric now. Save big. Get up to $9,000 in rebates with a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. Let American Energy perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis and see where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. They're the best. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990. Or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. The sad story of the Phoenix Suns. Why it feels good to be a Sacramento Kings fan. We'll do that next.